The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Thank you, Lord, for America. God bless this land, Father. We thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Father. Oh, blessed be thy name, Lord. Thank you for the gift of this great city, shining city on the hill that broadcasts the gospel throughout the world. Oh, we bless you, Lord. And we love you, Lord. And we thank you. Father, I ask you to be with every church today that's struggling with reopening. Father, I thank you for our president who stands tall and bold and said that the churches in America are open. And that anybody who tries to stop the churches from opening, he'll stop them. Thank you for Donald J. Trump, Lord. Thank you for his love for this nation, his love for the churches of America. Father, I just pray that the churches would be filled. And people would just show up. Maybe people just on the street, just walking by and see the doors open, and we go in. Maybe people who haven't been to church in a long time decide it's the time to go to church. Father, I pray for those who maybe just found us on the internet. I know that there are literally millions upon millions who are watching this morning throughout the world on the internet. On Facebook, on YouTube, on websites, listening to the gospel, listening to the story of what Jesus has done. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you're well aware, you may be seated, today is Memorial Day, when we remember those who have given all for us. Miss Pat, don't forget to plug in that cable. It'll help everyone hear me better with this microphone hooked up. It's a special day. I love Veterans Day, to honor those who serve, and I particularly... I'm always emotionally moved on Memorial Day. I had not served in the military. I spent 2 years in the ROTC at LSU. That's not the real military, but I got a taste for it in marching and saluting and wearing uniforms and learning about the military, so I probably know a little bit more than somebody who hadn't done that. But I do know this, that I am not a military person, and I wouldn't even begin to call myself anything to do with that, but I am somebody who honors the military. I am a warrior for the Lord.
Hallelujah!
So what I'd like for us to do this morning, before we get into the message, is to have the Pledge of Allegiance. And Jim, I know you're busy back there, but if you could come and do the colors for us... That would be good. We'll wait just a minute for Jim to get from the back up here to the platform. I think it's important that we honor the flag and we honor the military. Jim was a commander in the U.S. Navy. He is a career military guy, and he's got lots of stories. And every story I think he's ever told me about the military, he said I was in a ship in the middle of the Mediterranean, and then he'd tell the rest of the story. So I'm so glad that Jim is here and can do the colors for us this morning. Let's all stand. Let's repeat together. Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen. Amen. Just remember standing until the flag is put back in its post. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Joe. This is an important day in our history and what we're doing. And I wanted to bring to you a message from God's Word that honors our fallen heroes. So if you would, Jim will bring up the PowerPoint for me. I got to doing so many things this morning. He's a little bit overworked. He's certainly underpaid. Oh, here we go. Well, I do love the radio station, too. That's not what we're looking for. He'll get there. Here we go. Honor to whom honor is due, Memorial Day. And let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 4 and 5. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing. Jonathan is Saul's son, who David and Jonathan had a great relationship. So he took off the robe he was wearing, and he gave it to David, along with his tunic, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Whatever mission Saul set him, being David, on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. In Washington, D.C., if you've been there, and if you haven't been to Washington, D.C., as soon as this catastrophe is over with, pandemic, try to make a trip to Washington, D.C. It is a place worthy of all Americans to visit. It's filled with memorials. There's the Lincoln Memorial. And by the way, that is probably one of the most solemn places on the planet. If you've ever been there, it's not a tourist attraction. There's something about it. When you walk there, you can feel the hush that it's a memorial place. There's the Jefferson Memorial. There's a Washington's Monument. Stands tall above the whole city. Washington, D.C. is one of the few places you can go to and never get lost. You can't get lost because just look for the monument and you can't miss it and follow it and you'll find your bearings and get where you're going. The World War II Memorial, the Korean Memorial, the Vietnam Memorial, and on all over the city. There's memorials to our military and to those who have given so much for our nation. So Jonathan honored a shepherd boy with clothing of a warrior prince. There's something about a uniform that demands respect. Something about seeing someone in a military uniform. You know that they're a warrior, that they're paying a price. Those who are on active duty, whenever we see them, and I know that many of you do this, and we thank them for their service. But there's something about the uniform when you put it on. It changes you. You think differently. You realize that you're not a civilian, that you've taken a solemn oath to preserve, protect, and defend this great nation. I don't have time to do it this morning, but you can find this on the internet. And I just recently found this, that at the funeral services for the military, that each branch of the military, there when they present the flag to the family, each presentation is a little bit different. The Marine Corps is different from the Navy, different from the Army, different from the Air Force. And it kind of interests me. Basically, it's the same, but the wording, the way they say it, is a little bit different. I've talked to you many times through the years about a movie that you need to see it. If you haven't seen it, just go see it. It's called Taking Chance. Taking Chance. It's on Netflix and Amazon and I'm sure some other places. And it's a story about the military burial of fallen warriors and the care that our country takes for those who come home. You know, we see the back of those big airplanes open up and we see the flag-draped coffins being taken out. But one of the things that I didn't know that I learned in that movie was that everyone is clothed in their dress uniforms. Even if it's a closed coffin, they do that. So that to me speaks volumes about the honor that this country pays to fallen warriors. That movie just touched me in such a way that it changed me. Some, you know, it's just something that's life-changing about it, to see what a great job our nation does of taking care of those who have fallen. They're honored in life and they're honored in death. As you well know, every military funeral is dragged with the flag of the United States of America. So that all who are there know that this person paid a price, whether they fell in battle, or whether they served on active duty, whether they were in a war zone, or whether they just died a peaceful death in their 90s. They are honored with that flag over their coffin. And that flag is then carefully folded and presented to the survivor, whoever that may be, a husband, a wife, children, grandchildren. And so it's quite a thing to see. It's quite moving. I went to a funeral in Arlington Cemetery for a very, very high-ranking military official. They had the caissons. They had a military choir. They had the 21-gun salute. It was one of the most moving things to be in Arlington Cemetery and to see that take place. And they do that for, not everyone gets a choir because of his rank. It was a few more things that the regular heroes don't get. But it was just amazing to see. It's fitting that as a nation that we would remember and we would have a day called Memorial Day. I don't know how it got changed to a place where people go on picnics and barbecues and family fellowship, and I'm not opposed to that, but I think on the way to the picnic, you might go by a military graveyard and remind yourself of what the day really is, what it's really all about. Heroes, American heroes who see the plight of those who are in bondage. Our military is a very special military. We don't fight to gain land. We don't fight to overcome someone just for the fact of doing it. But we willingly sacrifice lives for the well-being of others. We willingly liberate people that they don't know. There was a day of prayer. Governor Bobby Jindal called for a state day of prayer several years ago, and Pat and I went up to Baton Rouge for that. And they had a man from Vietnam who was there, who got up to pray. And he said something I'd never heard. He said, "I want to thank the American soldiers who came to my country to try and liberate us." He said, "We owe them a debt that we can never repay." And boy, that was just so impressive to hear someone from another land say that. They're actually, military is willing to die to set others free. When you put on a uniform, it's not just so you can get a college education, which some do, and it's not just to do office work. Above and beyond, above all things, the military are taught to fight. That's their job to do. So we're thankful for them, but I guess in context of today, the greatest hero of all, who left the safety of his homeland to go fight in a foreign land was Jesus himself, who left heaven's gates and came here, fought for us, gave his life so that we could have freedom. So he's the greatest hero of all. So I want to talk to you about a couple of things. First of all, you honor the sacrifice that they made. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 34, and verse 38. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies. The world was not worthy of them. This morning we're here to honor and solemnly celebrate our military heroes. Those names that we just read were military heroes. They were fighters for Israel. They fought for their country. You think about the American soldiers, I don't know who's sacrificed more than they have. There's a very thin line between the men of faith and warriors of faith in the Bible and those who serve in our military of our nation. In the 250 years since our country was established, we've sent over 1 million American warriors to fight and to set captives free. Many died in battle, and of those that died in battle, that number is kept track of as best it can. There's always those who are missing in action. I don't know if you saw it, but just this week, two soldiers who died in Tarawa in the Pacific during World War II, their remains were found and brought home for military burial with their families. I think that's going to take place this week. If it didn't take place last week, it's going to take place this week. In the Revolutionary War, in the War of 1812, 6,695 soldiers fell in battle. In World War I, 53,402 died in battle. In World War II, 291,557 fell in battle. In the Korean War, the war that's the Forgotten War, it's called the Forgotten War, I promise you, the families of these 33,741 who died in Korea haven't forgotten them. In the Vietnam War, 47,410 died. That is a memorial worth seeing. If you've never been to Washington, D.C., to see the Vietnam Memorial, all the memorials are amazing and moving. But this one, with the names on it, it just wrenches your heart to see it. And this number of 47,410 becomes reality when you see the names of every nationality that are there in this melting pot called America. In the Gulf War, 147 died. In the Iraq War, 3,441. And the numbers are still going up today, this very day. I want to read you something that I found, and I'm going to try to do it justice as I read it. And it's called The Poem of Freedom. I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so proud, so tall, so young, with hair cut square and eyes alert. He'd stand out in any crowd. I thought about how many men like him have fallen through the years. How many died on foreign soil? How many mothers' tears? How many pilots' planes shot down? How many foxholes with soldiers' graves? No, freedom is not free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times the taps had meant amen when a flag had draped the coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children of the mothers and the wives, of fathers, sons, and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea or unmarked graves in Arlington. No, freedom isn't free. I think that kind of says it all to us about this thing called freedom and those who pay such a heavy price. There's a man in our town who I used to see him every year. I used to see him more than once a year, but I don't see him anymore because of he's actually not working at the gym. He used to work at the Slidell gym where I used to attend. And he's a story of a fallen World War II soldier who died in Europe. He was born after his father was deployed into the military. His father never saw him, and he never saw his father. His mother raised him and his siblings and stayed single. She chose to be single all the days of her life. But it's, you know, when you hear about it, when you see videos and you see these men die in battle, the backstories are real. A woman lost her husband. Children lost their father. A boy never saw and was never seen by his father. That's a real story that I know, somebody that I met. So when you hear this thing of remembering and honoring and their sacrifice, remember that those sacrifices are not just songs we sing, but they are reality. They are real people who paid a very heavy price for us to be here. Second thing I want to bring to your attention this morning is we honor the flag that they honor. Let's look at Jeremiah 51, verses 12 through 13. Raise the battle flag against the Babylon. Reinforce the guard and station the watchmen. Prepare an ambush, for the Lord will fulfill all his plans against Babylon. You are a city by a great river, a great center of commerce, but your end has come. The thread of your life is cut short. It's interesting because there was the death knell given to a foreign country by God himself, that Babylon had crossed the line and that God had actually moved in. Jim was good enough to give me a couple of videos. And Jim, if you could show that first video, because of you, we'll watch that now. Take him a minute to get that up.
Extraordinary men and women went before us with unmatched resilience, enduring hardship when called upon to defend and liberate. They said yes. They found courage to rise with every sun, loyalty toward their country, discipline for every command. Even in the darkest hours, they said yes. They cherish and fought for freedom, so those coming behind them were assured of it. And when the moment came for them to give it all, their futures never to be written, they said yes. Today we think upon their sacrifice and find our way to honor them. saying yes to making the most of what they gave us, and filling the earth with God's goodness. We thank them for their yes. They will never be forgotten.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for saying yes. Perhaps there's no greater insult than to throw away or let be taken away the freedom that has been provided for you. It's our watch, it's our guard, it's our time to preserve that freedom. And we've talked about that at length for the past 4 or 5 weeks as we had our Black Robe Regiment series. I've become very upset with the liberal mentality that dishonors our flag. It's an insult to every military person. And I appreciate the military people who, when someone tries to deface the American flag, they, on many occasions, a veteran, some that are old and well past their time, will fight to make sure that that doesn't continue. It means something special to the military. When the flag flies over their parade grounds, when it's at the battlefield, and when it drapes the coffins of those who come home and those who die. So it means a lot to the military, and we should honor the honor that the military give to it, if for no other reason. We live under the freedom of that flag. When they had the Gulf War, there was an interesting phenomenon that took place. If you can believe this, the Kuwaiti government refused to have the American flag fly over its nation. So the military who taken off from airfields in Kuwait couldn't have the flag to salute the flag before they take off. That's a tradition that's done, and you see it in, off aircraft carriers more than anything else, is they always salute the flag before they're catapults, at least the way I've seen it. But anyway, some ingenious American found a pole, put an American flag on it, and some kind of way fixed it on the top of a page fence. You can see it. And every one of those pilots, before they took off, would salute that flag. It was kind of tilted and out of the way, but they were fighting for the flag of America. And I always appreciated those American airmen who did that as they were flying in, during that war. Been me, I'd have picked up my planes and stuff and said, if we can't fly our flag for our people here, well, we'll see you later, you know. But that's just the way I think about things. So, you know, one of the first things that I did when we started this church was to buy those flags that are behind me that we used this morning for the Pledge of Allegiance. And I made sure I got something really good. We paid a truckload of money for those two flags. They are the finest quality that I could get, because I wanted them to last a long time. And they look as new as the day we got them. The church flag and the American flag. It's got the beautiful gold braids that are on the side, and they're made out of a material that won't deteriorate. They're really, really good. Because I believe that the church, part of its job, is to honor the military and to honor our nation. Amen. You know, I wouldn't have a church that didn't have the American flag and the church flag someplace in it. So we choose to honor the flag, and we should do it in our homes. We ought to have a flag flying over our homes, whether if it's a small one by the mailbox or something you can put up a post for. It's just something special about seeing the flags fly. As I drove out of my subdivision this morning, they had two flags right by the gates, and they had a sign, and it says, "Because we honor them." And I thought, well, they must have saw my sermon notes, you know, how they knew that. But it's something that we do. We honor the flag at our homes, at our churches. Whenever you see a flag flying at half mast, you know that something happened. Someone is being honored. And they fly the flag at half mast or honor. So the flag has got a great history and a great tradition. Our national anthem speaks about through the glare of battle that they saw that our flag was still there. There's a backstory to that, that the commander of that was responsible for the fort that was under attack had made an enormous flag, the biggest flag he could have made to fly so that the British fleet that was offshore could make sure that they saw that flag was still flying. I thought that was very interesting that that he did that. As we said earlier, we honor the flag at the funeral, and when the last words of the person who presents the flag to the surviving individuals, families, is said, on behalf of a grateful nation. On behalf of a grateful nation. You know, just because people attain the position of justices on the United States Supreme Court doesn't mean that they're right about everything. I mean, just because they're there, and when they passed a judgment that said that we could deface the United States flag because we had the freedom to do that, that they were saying that we have the ultimate freedom to do anything. You know how they didn't run those guys off the bench, those gals and guys off the bench that day, is beyond me. The military would have been justified in taking up arms against the justices of that day, who would say such a thing that the United States flag could be defaced. But in America, it's not illegal to deface the American flag. We don't do that. When our flags get old and they get tattered from hanging off of our house, it's not a battlefield, it's just our house, we bring them to Don Morales. Don Morales has got a part of a ministry he does, and he makes sure that the flag is properly disposed of. I believe he burns them, if I'm not mistaken. But we always are thankful that Don is willing to do that, and it's good that he would do it, being an ex-military man. So the flag needs to be honored. And, the liberals have misused the flag. They've done the same thing to the cross. Yeah. The cross itself has been abused, and we have allowed that to happen. How the Center for, I forget the name of it, it's something to do with the performing arts, I believe. It's federally funded, the tax dollars pay for it. And they thought it was art when someone put a cross in a plastic container and filled it with urine and said that we're free to do that. And your tax dollars paid for that. You know, that's worse than the flag.
Oh, yes.
You know, that's worse, in my opinion. So at any rate, the KKK, that diabolical group, decided to burn crosses. I mean, what's that all about? It's been misused and abused. It's been denied access into our federal buildings. You can't have a cross in a federal building or in a state building. I don't think you can do it in a state building either. It's been denied access in schools across our country. Somebody said last week, where was God when all these terrible things happened in schools? And said it's right where you put him, you know, outside on the sidewalk. And you wouldn't let him in. So the cross and the flag work together. Pat and I were having a discussion last night, And she brought up something very interesting. In the book of Isaiah, in fact, I quoted this for you last week. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, Isaiah said that, on the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. That train is a symbol of government authority. Kings wear trains, and queens wear trains. And we had this discussion that it took place in the temple. So that in the eyes of Israel, the temple and the government, worshiping God under the auspices of the government and recognizing the government, is a good thing. We've tried to divide that, and it's this idea of separation of church and states. The only thing that the concept of separation of church and states is that the government can't interfere with the church.
Right.
And they're interfering today.
Amen.
Today. Many people aren't here today. Many of you are watching by the internet, on Facebook, and other places, because the government has interfered with the church. Now, they say they have a good reason to do that because of the virus. And the question that I have is, what will be the next excuse? What will be the next reason they'll do that? So I am adamantly opposed to the government closing down the churches. There is a problem, but we can take care of the problem ourselves. I'm smart enough and educated enough to find somebody to tell me what to do to protect people if you do gather in churches. And if you look around this building, we got signs all over the place. We got squirt bottles to disinfect you on the way in. If you're not careful, they'll disinfect you from head to toe. We make sure that Becky and Roe have done an excellent job of disinfecting this entire building so that when you come here, you can be safe.
Yeah.
I don't need the government to tell me that. You know, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. So, but we've removed the cross and we've removed our influence in the government, and the government has gone astray. We prayed earlier this morning. I'm thankful for Donald Trump, who stood tall for the churches and said that you can't do this. In fact, there was a guy, I believe it's in Maryland, who opened his church several weeks ago and was arrested. What he did is exactly what we've done. You know, he had social distancing. He put up signs, disinfected the building, took all the stuff out of the back of the pews and put it away. He did all that, and they arrested him anyway. And he's facing this in his state. I saw it on TV, and he was actually preaching, and he had the summons for him to go to court, I guess. And he just took it in front of God and everyone and just ripped it to shreds and just threw it to the side. Well, somebody saw that and had an interview with him on TV, and I saw the interview. And he said he didn't plan to do that, but he said in the moment it seemed like the right thing to do. And I agreed that it was the right thing to do. So I decided to find out who he was. So I had his name and the name of his church. So I looked him up on the internet, and I found him. I found his church website, and I sent him a letter, just a brief letter, telling him I supported him, and that Thomas Jefferson said, freedom once taken away is never returned, and that we were struggling with these things just like he was. And he wrote me back, and I really appreciated that the pastor took the time to return and reciprocate the letter that I sent to him. It wasn't a long, just brief, just enough to let him know that there are other voices. I guess he was kind of surprised to get something from Slidell, Louisiana. A long ways from where he is, all right? But we're together in this. We're interdependent on each other. Our churches, just as the military, is dependent upon each other. When men go into battle, They go into battle, and they fight for their brothers and their sisters. In this case, the women are now on the battlefield. They fight for each other, preserve each other's lives. So there's a lot of honor that goes into the flag. We need to be resolved to pray for freedom fighters. We need to be resolved to serve God and fight any enemy, spiritual or otherwise. And we need to resolve to preserve and protect the freedom that has been given to us. And to make sure that nobody messes with our flag. Because if you mess with our flag, you have messed with the United States of America and the freedom-loving people of America. Okay?
Yes.
The third thing I want to bring to your attention is you honor the traditions they honor. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 and 2. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I pass them on to you. And the key word here is traditions. We have church traditions. We do stuff in a very traditional way. We have communion. That's a tradition. We have baptism. That's a tradition. We read our Bibles. That's a tradition. Well, the military is filled with traditions. They do things that don't make sense to the outsider, but they make a lot of sense to the military. There's a video that a second video that we have. And Jim, if you'd show that second video, if you'd bring it up before I go any further with this.
On this day, we remember. We remember your calling. We remember your courage. We remember your sacrifice. We remember your life. We remember what it cost you to pledge your allegiance to your country. Because of you, we can walk in liberty. Because of you, we can sleep in peace. Because of you, the flag is still there. Because of you, this is the land of the free. Because of you, this is the home of the brave. To the families and friends of the heroes we've lost, we salute you.
As you saw on the screen, there's another thing that everyone should see, and that's the grave of the unknown soldier at Arlington Cemetery. And to see those men who stand guard in their dress uniforms, they're called the old guard, they're there day and night. They refuse to stand down in storms, in winter, in blazing heat. They are dressed and stand guard at that place. It's a tradition. And what it says to everyone who dons the military uniform, we will not forget. Though no one know your name, though you be lost in the battlefield, we will not forget. We will not forget. That's a solemn pledge of our nation to do that. Each generation shoulders the weight of freedom. And we must do our part to pass it on to the next generation. The military carries forth the traditions passed to them. They salute the flag. They stand in honor of the flag. They salute officers. They salute the Medal of Honor recipients. They do that. That's a great tradition. I was talking to a military guy the other day, and with mentioning about the traditions, and something about saluting. And he said, well, you don't have to salute if you have cover. And I said, cover? He said, it's called the cover in the military. If you have it, if you don't have it on, you don't have to salute. But if you have cover on, you must salute. I thought, oh, that's interesting. He said, and if you have a military gun belt on, you have to salute. And I said, well, why in a gun belt, if you don't have cover and you have a gun belt, that you have to salute? They said, because that's the way we do it. It's a military thing. And there are just lots and lots of things. The uniform, spit and polish. When I was, this is not stealing glory, just my experience, but when I was in the ROTC, I had to learn to do a spit shot. I hadn't even heard of a spit shot before I got to LSU. And what you do is you take polish and you put it on a rag and you spit on it and you polish your shoes and you polish it little by little by little. And you do that enough, and it takes hours to do it right. So I see a spit polished man over there shaking his head. And when you get finished, those things are beautiful. I think today they've gotten away from that. They use patent leather shoes for their dress uniform. I don't know, but it's the military tradition. The brass on your uniform, your belt buckle, which is brass, and the buttons on your uniform. You polish those babies because they're going to look just right. And when you, I learned, every military guy out there and gal is shaking their head, what a gig line is. How many of you don't know what a gig line is? Raise your hand. You don't know what it is. It's a bunch of civilians. A gig line, excuse me for doing this, but let me flip my tie back. It's the line between your shirt and the zipper or buttons on your pants. That line is supposed to be straight. I hope mine is. Because when I learned that in the military, and I always do that to make sure my gig line is straight. In fact, one day it wasn't straight, and Jim, he may not even remember it, he said, your gig line's off. I said, oh, okay, I just got it. It's the tradition of the military. If you're in the Navy, and I know Jim being an old Navy salt, you scrape and paint everything. It's a tradition. You know, that ship is going to look spit and polish. They're just, I mean, if I got some of the military guys up here, they could tell you a lot more than I know, but it's the way that they do things. Another great tradition is, and I've mentioned it before, is that you know, your military, you know, when your body goes to rest, it'll be under the American flag. It'll be there. Pat and I have a flag from her uncle, who served in World War II. He went to the beaches of Normandy, not on D-Day, but 2 days later. And he spent the entire war in Europe. Thankfully, he didn't die. He came back as a war hero. And when he died, we have the flag, and he has several medals. We've got the flags in the little box, the shadow box. You brought it? Oh, I didn't know it. There it is. It's on the back table. Get that for me. I'll bring it up here. I'll honor Uncle Jimmy. Yeah, bring them both. I didn't plan on doing this, but since we have the opportunity, I'll hold up this first of all. There's my uncle, Pat's uncle, Jimmy, in his uniform. He's a handsome dude. And here's the flag that he was laid to rest under. And there's his dog tags are in here, a little knife that he had, several medals from Europe and from America, and his cover, his hat, with his rank on it. It's really a beautiful thing. You get a chance to look at it closer before we leave. But that's a promise and a tradition for him. And when we have this at the house, and every time I see it, I remember Uncle Jimmy. Thank you. Appreciate you doing that. There's a thing, there's a phrase that every military person knows. It's called duty, honor, country. Duty, honor, country. When I thought about that, I remembered hearing someone very famous use that phrase. And it was General Douglas MacArthur, probably one of America's greatest military heroes. He was at West Point in 1962, where his farewell address to the military, Now, it's a rather long, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read part of it for you here today. And I think you will appreciate it in light of everything that we've said this morning. The long gray line has never failed us. Now remember, he's at West Point doing this. Were you to do so, a million ghosts in olive drab, in brown khaki, in blue and gray would rise from their white crosses, thundering those magic words, duty, honor, country. This does not mean that you are warmongers. On the contrary, the soldier, above all other people, prays for peace. For he must suffer and bear the deepest wounds and scars of war. But always in our ears rings the ominous words of Plato, that wisest of all philosophers, only the dead have seen the end of war. The shadows are lengthening for me. The twilight is here. My days of old have vanished, tone and tint, sound and color. They have gone glimmering through the dreams of things that were. Their memory is one of wonderful beauty, watered by tears and lured and caressed by the smiles of yesterday. I listened then, but with thirsty ears, for the witching melody of a faint bugle blowing reveille, of the far beating drums of the long roll. In my dreams I hear again the clash of guns, the rattle of musketry, the strange and mournful mutter of the battlefield. But in the evening of my memory always I come back to West Point. Always here, echoes and re-echoes, duty, honor, country. Today marks my final roll call with you, but I want you to know that when I cross the river, my last conscious thoughts will be of the Corps, and of the Corps, and of the Corps. I bid you farewell. I think in some way what General MacArthur said that day gives us an idea of the heart of the military and what it means to so many. They're worthy of our recognition and worthy of preserving their great traditions. It's our job as a nation to remember the military so that when some young boy or girl in their early teens stands and raises their right hand and pledges to preserve and protect our nation, that they know that we, the civilians, honor them and will do all that we can to continue to honor them, their service, their flag, and their great traditions. And we'll stand whenever the flag is raised and we sing the Star-Spangled Banner or we pledge allegiance to that flag. And we'll put our hands over our hearts as those military people salute. And we'll say to them that we honor you, for you have honored us. It's our job as a church to remember the biblical hero, the greatest hero of all, Jesus, lest we forget. So what can we do? We can stand for the cross, and we can stand for the flag, and we can stop anyone who tries to dishonor either one. And we do that by the way we vote, by the way we say, the things we say. You know, the day of a solid majority is over. For the majority was silent for so long that they're moving into the column of the minority. And it's time for the minority to start making some noise. To speak up and to say, and it's okay to get in a verbal debate with people about things. And speak the truth. You know, Becky, you've got a longer history of history in this nation than we do. For your great-great-grandfather, great-great, three grades back, served in the military. And there's much to be said about the military. And I try to do it justice. Maybe one year I'll bring in a military person to speak firsthand about what they've been through, because they have a greater appreciation maybe than I do. But this Memorial Day, if you have a social distancing picnic, or if you gather with your family, take a few minutes to think about what the day really is, to pray for the families. There are mothers and fathers, husbands and wives and children today that Memorial Day never meant anything to them before, but they lost their son, their daughter, their husband, their wife, their mother, or their dad. Maybe this year. And this year, they will appreciate Memorial Day like they never did before. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all who have served. Father, not only for those who donned the uniform, but those families who supported them, like Miss P, who supported her husband all the years that he was serving our military, keeping us free. For everyone who served and the families who supported them, to the wives who let them go, to the husbands who let their wives go, to the children who let their parents go, to the parents who let their children go. For all of us, Lord Jesus, I ask your blessings on the military families today, throughout the world, those who are places of harm today, those who are spread out around the globe. I ask you to protect those in uniform and bring them home safe. Lord, we know that not all will return, but they're all willing to pay the price. And if they come home in one of those big planes, and we see on the news where the gate opens and with honor they're removed in their flag-draped coffins to be returned to their family, to be buried, let us remember and never forget our fallen. Father, this is our prayer in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. That concludes our formal service.